We truly are leaning on the Lord this morning and desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word, because that's what we're here for. It's for the Lord to come and meet with us and speak to our hearts. Oh, he loves for us to come and sit together in heavenly places, and he loves to hear the songs of Zion. He loves for us to also have a meaning of it in our hearts. You know, someone wrote these songs and had an experience, and now you and I can relate to those experiences somebody else had, and we can say, I've had experiences similar to that. God wants to prove himself to each one of us. One scripture says that he would open up the windows of heaven. He says, come and prove me now and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. So the Lord is desiring to bless us each one today. We have a few scriptures we want to begin with in the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes. We're going to be looking at verses 10 through 12. And these are familiar scripture, but we would like for it to be a little beginning point for the thoughts that the Lord has given to us. I would like to say early this morning, my mind was going in a different direction, and the Lord awakened me about 4 o'clock this morning and began to give me some of these thoughts. And so I'm trusting that the Spirit of the Lord is going to make it alive for each one of us. The 10th verse says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Verse 11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance, we're not here gambling this morning. Chance might sound like a gamble, but this word chance represents opportunities. So time and opportunity happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fish that are taken in the evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the men snared in the evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. This is a very serious passage, but it starts out with some instructions. Have you ever heard that verse read before? Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all of your might. And I inserted that word all in there. I believe the Lord is desiring to use this passage to awaken all of us to life itself, the realities of life. It seems like a mixture of thoughts to start out with and speak about that there's no work in the grave. Once you and I pass from this life, that's all there is in this life. That's the end of this life. But eternity begins. Time goes into eternity. Your life, my life, when it ends here, I can't expect to go on working. I can't expect any other events of time to affect me. I am going out into eternity at that time. And it says that we are all going there. We know that. There isn't one person in this room today that has any kind of a hope of living forever. We all have an appointed time Time is very important to us. Isn't time important to you every day? We're counting time. We make our appointments. We meet our appointments. We rise in the morning. We generally have our schedule of meal times. That's according to time. And then we generally retire for the night at a certain time. Time is important. So the writer here said that he considered that the race is not to the swift. And we often think about a swift race or people that are entering into races. They have a purpose. This introduces the thought of life itself is a race. Everyday life, we're in a race, I'm going to say, with time. Generally, we might say, I have said it, if I had more than 24 hours in a day, I would get everything done. Well, I don't have 24 hours extra in a day. I can only sleep so long. I can only work so long. I can only do my duties. And that I have just a certain amount of time to do that in. So this is like a race in life. And I it said that it was just for a short time. And that compares, I might say, well, I might live to be 80 years old. I might be 70 years old. That sounds like a long time. But you're looking at a very small period of time compared to eternity. Eternity is without end. And you and I don't think about eternity every day, but we should. We should remember that we all have an appointment for ending our race. There is a finish line for each one of us. The writer here started out and said, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with your might. And I'm asking, why would he ask such a question or make a statement like that? It is because we want to get accomplished all that we are called to do in this life. I'm thinking how good it is to avail ourselves of the time that we do have, of life that is given to us, how that we can take full advantage of time and opportunity. And I'm going to insert a few thoughts here concerning us as human beings, people. I'm thinking about how that the Lord is calling for the men to be men. How that the scripture teaches us, has taught us, the man is to be a provider for his own house. The man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He is to give himself for his wife as Christ gave himself for the church. But it also says that he is to work by the sweat of his brow. In other words, he is to be a man that is diligent to provide for his own house. So you have only a certain amount of time to do that. Strength of age will eventually not allow you to give that amount of time to fulfill that calling that God has given to the men. But I'm thinking of the women, and I'm just inserting this for us to see how important time is. For the women to also answer the call. I wrote it down like this: to a noble and a high calling. You know what God wants the men and the women, the husbands, the wives, how to fit together in a family to cause a family to be prosperous. He wants it to begin with both the husband and the wife being consecrated to their position for the amount of time that they are given. And so for us women, the command is to love your husbands. To love your husbands when your husbands are not lovable. And to love your children when your children aren't lovable. It's a commandment of the Lord. It's a good commandment. It is good for us to be reminded, what is my calling? Every one of us here in this room today has a calling. And he wants us to be reminded of that calling because time is running out. Time and opportunity are both very important, and time and opportunity are running out. So there is a scripture in Proverbs 14 and 1 for us women. And it says for us to be wise builders of our homes. You know, we are very important to our homes. Be a wise builder. Don't be a foolish builder. It says that a foolish woman will tear her house down with her hands. And there's ways that it's just as easy to tear up a house. I'm not talking about a building, I'm talking about a home. So we're called to be virtuous women in this day and in this time and with these opportunities. God is saying, I want you to do this with all of your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all of your might. You brethren, when you go to work, apply yourselves on your jobs to do the best for your employer that you can, to keep that job, to be able to provide for your family. This is pleasing unto God because the word of the Lord says, a man that will not provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. So now we've given both extremes of the women and of the men, and we have time and we have opportunity, and you're in a race with time and opportunity. So I'm thinking about time itself, life itself. Work, the work of my life, the place that he has called us to, is it without trouble?
No.
The scripture says that a man is born of a woman and is just a few days and is full of trouble. That sounds discouraging, and yet we know it's reality to life. This is life. You and I are going to meet problems. We're going to be tempted. We're going to be tried. God's going to have a tried people. You're not going to slide into heaven and everything's just going to be real smooth. It's going to go just exactly like you want. It's not going to happen that way. I would be foolish to try to tell you that you get saved today and everything's going to go your way. I'm telling you, there is an opposer to each one of our lives that is trying to turn you back from your purpose. And so expect problems. But God wants to help us with our problems. That's the whole purpose. He wants to save our souls. He wants to redeem us. He wants us to be a child of the King. He wants us to live for Him and find the joys of living for Him. I want to tell you, people that are saved aren't the only ones that has trouble. Every person out there, you can go and talk to them. I don't know that you'll find 10 people that will say, I've never had a day of trouble. Because trouble and sorrow belongs to humankind. Why? Because of sin in the world. Adam and Eve had it perfect. They lived in the garden. Everything was perfect. Until when? Until they ate of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Until they fell and they were cast out of the garden, and then the curse of sin was placed upon them, and that curse is still in this world. That's why we need salvation, and we need the power of God, and we need to understand what it works and how it works in our lives. Thank the Lord, and it does work. I know what God has done for me. I know what God has done for many of you. And He has the power to help you and me to live free from sin. Thank the Lord. I believe it. I know it. He has done it. So as we look at this, and we see that there is trouble and there is sorrow and there are opposing powers, now we're beginning to see the race, the competition. Don't you know that in a literal race that it is, generally it's a group of people that are in competition with each other, and they're trying to see which one will run the fastest, and the first one to cross the finish line wins the prize. Well, the scripture speaks about all of this, and we're going to speak about a different race. This is a Christian race. It doesn't all have to do with the daily grind, but it certainly impacts the daily grind. How I run my race. How I finish my course. The kind of race that we are in today is a race of endurance. Yes. It's a race that has to do with perseverance. It has to do with steadfastness. It's made up of choices. Choices all along the way, every day. God has created you and me to be creatures of choice. He does not force anyone to enter the race. You enter the race by choice. So choosing what you do with your life, it's in your hands, see. So I'm going to read a scripture now in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I'm going to paraphrase this particular verse. Going to be looking at verses 24 through 27. It says, know you not that they which run in a race, everyone runs in order to win a prize? So there is a prize that is out there. And when we think of a literal race, say in the Olympics, we might have someone that wins first place, and someone that may win the second prize and the third prize, and they get these medals that are to be an honor for winning the race. But it says that there, Paul said here, there are corruptible crowns. That's what you have in the Olympics. It is something that someone has trained for, and they have given their time and their opportunities, and they work toward it, and they have a reward. They are trying to get the gold medal or the silver or the bronze, and that's called a corruptible crown or a corruptible reward. But there, Paul said, there are incorruptible crowns, incorruptible rewards. So what would that be? That would be the reward of eternal life. That would be rewards that we might not see all along the way. We are always waiting for it. The scripture says, let no man take your crown. So there's an opposer. Satan is an opposer. He may use people to be an opposer all along the way, but we keep our eye on the goal. We keep our eye on the crown. We're not going to let anyone detour us from winning our incorruptible crown. And then Paul said, I keep my body under and I bring it into subjection. To what? My will. My will has so much to do with running a race. Whether I, if a person is or has a determination or a goal to enter the Olympic race, they don't let anything turn them back. They don't let anything deter them. They don't let anything stop them from entering the race. But you and I have got a will. One scripture says, Matthew 26th chapter, in verse 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There is a war that is going on within every man. The will is warring against the flesh. The flesh is warring against the spirit. Now, God has said, I'm giving you a will. If you will subject your will to my will, I will help you. I will give you grace. I will give you power to choose, always choose right. So here's the race. The race is between your will and your flesh. So the competition begins when we are in temptation or tempted and we cry out and we say, Lord, help me. Does he hear those cries? He hears those cries. He hears the cry of your heart. He knows, he discerns your thoughts. He's a discerner of our thoughts. And even the intentions of our heart. And when we're in the midst of this thing and God is looking down and hearing our cries, he will help us. Oh, that sounds like a simple little statement, but it's a major statement. It means a lot for God to help us. So, every man. And every woman and every child in here today, God grants you a will to choose what you want to do with your life. I'm going to read a scripture now in Isaiah 1, 19 and 20. It says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now, what would that mean? That's not talking about our diet. That's not talking about going to the grocery store and eating or choosing every good thing that my heart would desire to eat. That's not talking about that at all. It's talking about spiritual things. You and I are a twofold being. We are a human being. We have human desires and human will. But I tell you, you have a spirit. Every one of us have a soul that is going to go back to God, and we are going to give an account for all that we do in this body. Our soul is eternal. Our soul is spiritual. And therefore, I have to be willing to take the way of the cross. I have to be willing to take the way of Christ. I have to be willing to accept the word of God as being the law of God, of living for God, and that's how I am willing and obedient, and I'm going to eat spiritual food that will strengthen me all the way down through my life and give me the grace to do his will, to rise above all of the things that come in my life. He is able. But the scripture here says, continues on, if ye refuse, you have the choice, see? You can say, yes, Lord, I'm going to take your way. I want your will in my life. I'm going to accept what you desire for my life, or I can say no. I refuse. And it says, if ye refuse, ye shall be devoured. Well, just as Adam and Eve were given the instructions to eat of every fruit in the garden except one, the knowledge of good and evil, they were not to touch it. They were not to take of it. Their eyes were not open to good and evil until they did. And so when they did, they became, their peace was gone. They no longer, they were ashamed. They realized they were naked and they hid themselves from God. When God came to walk with them in the garden, who did he call for? He called for Adam. Oh, brethren, you have a grave responsibility to be over your family. God has placed brethren, men, to have a special place. And he's going to call your name. And he's going to say, have you, maybe it won't be in these words exactly, but it means this. Have you taken care of your household? Have you promoted me in your household? Have you showed them Christ? Have you revealed to your family how to make it to heaven, that there is a goal, there is a finish line? Brethren, God wants to use you for your children to be saved, for your wife to be saved. He didn't call for Eve. Eve had the same curse, but I want to tell you, God called for Adam. And he's calling for our brethren today to be godly men. Men of influence that will guide your household, that will teach your children, that will promote Christ in your wife and in your marriage. That's what he's calling for. So he says, you'll be devoured. Now, Satan said to Eve, when he was trying to influence her to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, you won't die. Did she die right then? She didn't physically die. She died spiritually. And that's what will happen. It's not, we're looking all around and I see this one has refused. I've seen that one that refused. And did they die? They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. Something happens when we make a wrong choice. Something happens when we make a right choice. But it's in your hands. It's in my hand. I can make a choice today, and God will not stop me. He will try. I know God tries to help people to make the right choices. But it says here, let's see, the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse, ye shall be devoured. And then it ends with, the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. This was something that God said himself. There's no way that you can get around this, because God said those words. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 30 and 19. And it says, I will call heaven and earth to record this day. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, the exhortation in this passage is choose life. Yes. Don't choose death. Don't refuse and be devoured, but be willing, be obedient, and choose life. And the latter part of that verse says why? So that you can live and that your children will live. Yes. See how important that is to all of us, that we make the right choice, that we choose God and his way. His way is right. His way is best. God's way is best, the song says. Let's go over to Joshua now, Joshua 24 and 15. And again, it has this word, choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. This is Joshua, and he's saying this to the people. And he's admonishing the people. I haven't given you the whole verse. I'm just giving you a little portion out of it. But his exhortation was, you choose whom you're going to serve this day. And then look how he makes his choice at the end of it. He says, as for me, and it's my choice, as for me and my house, as long as I have my children under my roof, I am responsible for choices, to influence them in making right choices, for teaching them, as someone brought out in the Sunday school this morning about what was commanded, the parents were to teach the children when they rose up in the mornings, when they went out, when they sat down, and all through the day, you're teaching your children the right way, that they will make the right choice. And so Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Does that mean that your children will all grow up and go out and serve the Lord? It doesn't always happen that way, but another scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. It'll come back to them. We have witnessed in just the last few months, people that were in their 80s, that had been away from God for many years, and they're getting saved because they were trained up in the way they should go when they were young, and it came back to them. They knew this was the way. They knew that this was the right way. Oh, I want to tell you, don't ever be discouraged with teaching your children the right way. They will make the right choice, Lord willing, and with our prayers. Thank the Lord. So Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, verse 21, is another scripture. And this is Elijah. And he's talking to the people there, admonishing them in the way they were not making the right choice. And what he said was, how long will ye halt between two opinions? You know, you really can't be successful if one day you're going to live this way and the next day I'm going to choose something else. It won't be balanced. It won't work together. You'll lose your joy. You'll lose your peace. But there's peace when you make the right choice. And it says, how long will ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, choose him. I said choose. Follow him. If the Lord is the right God, you see, they were worshiping Baal. And they were chosen people of God who had chosen another way. They had turned away from God and they were worshiping other gods. And so Elijah is saying, now why halt between two opinions? Let's prove who the true God is. So the prophets of Baal were given the first chance to prove if he was the true God, because they were going to prove it by fire. So they cut their sacrifice and put it on the altar, and then they began to call on Baal. Now, Baal is not God. Baal is a false god. He doesn't have ears. He doesn't have eyes. He doesn't have a mouth. He doesn't have hands. I want to tell you, he's a dead god created by man. And they were worshiping him. And they were the chosen people of God. So they did this all day. They cut themselves. They tried to call down fire out of heaven to prove to the people this was the true God. And finally, they gave up. And so in the evening, Elijah took the sacrifice, put it on the altar, but he said, I want to really prove to you what our God will do. And so they put barrels of water. They dug the ditch, filled it with water. The wood was wet. Everything was in contrary to nature. And then he prayed a simple prayer. He called upon his God and asked him to prove himself to the people. Very simple prayer. And God sent fire down and consumed the sacrifice, the wet wood, licked up the stones, burned up the stones, licked up all the water, and even the dust around it. Now, who was the true God? And so Elijah is saying to the people, now this is the true God. Choose him. So I want to turn now to Job 17. We're going to be closing. Job 17 and verse 9. It says, the righteous shall hold on to his way. Means the righteous is going to hold on to his choice. And he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. I don't remember having read this verse before. But do you know if you will choose righteousness, that you will become stronger and stronger? There is a scripture that also says for you and me to go from strength to strength. As we face battles and hard places in life and God proves himself to us, we gain strength. We become stronger. And so if we continue on with clean hands and a pure heart, and we can be counted as righteous before God, he will make you stronger and stronger. Thank the Lord. So this last verse is Revelations 2 and 10. And I've been impressed with this, not necessarily with everything that it is saying in it, but that we might get a vision of the finish line. It says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. So one of the things that oftentimes there is a voice that will cause us to have imaginations of what will happen to me if I choose God. If I choose to take the way of the cross represents something hard, see. But if I make that choice, and I choose the righteous way, don't you know there's going to be thoughts come to your mind? Oh, if you choose God, it'll be hard. I want to tell you the way of a transgressor is hard. The scripture says that. But the way of the righteous, it'll get stronger and stronger. Thank the Lord. So it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And then in that verse it says, ye shall have tribulation. You're going to have some problems. You're going to have some afflictions. You're going to experience some tribulations. Expect it. And yet God is the one that will help us. But look at the next part. Be thou faithful unto death. Choose to be faithful unto death. And what will happen? He'll give you a crown of life. That's at the finish line. That's after you've run the race. You weren't in competition with any other human being. You were in competition with yourself. Your flesh and your will was the race. You know, on Wednesday, before he passed on Saturday, my husband, he loved to pitch horseshoes, and he was always in competition with himself. And he always wanted to try to beat his own record. And on Wednesday before he passed, he pissed 100 horseshoes. And he made 44 ringers. And he came home and he said, I sure wish I could make 50 sometime. That's how this run with the Lord is. Always, you don't compare yourselves among yourselves. He said, it's not wise. I don't compare myself to your life. You don't compare yourself to mine. We may feed one another by example. We may encourage one another. We may challenge one another. But listen, I'm the only one that can win my race. You're the only one that can win your race. It's between you and God. And he's saying to each one of us today, I want you to choose life. It's in your hands. You can choose life or you can choose death. But he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That's what your prize will be. Thank the Lord. And then as we think about the scripture over in 1 Corinthians again in the 9th chapter, I just want to review that just a little bit in closing. And it says, know ye that they which run in a race run all. And then it says, you run to obtain. Make it your goal. Make it your purpose in life. Whatever I have to go through, God will be there with me. But it's my choice. I'm going to run this race to obtain a crown, a incorruptible crown. And the Lord will keep you. Oh, he says in one place, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted of him? Have you found his goodness? Has it spoiled you for life? I want to tell you, I'm going to testify. The goodness of the Lord has spoiled me for life. He's able to help us. Thank the Lord. Well, that's our little thought this morning, and we trust that the Lord will bless it to each one. And that as you go from here today and as you go about your duties this week, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. But I certainly hope that in the midst of it, you'll realize I'm in a race. And I'm really in competition only with myself. And that God is able to help me choose life. Thank the Lord.